You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. This is at RBLR Sun FC. Tom, what the heck was that?
Cat toy.
Gotcha. All right. Well, things you're missing out on, by the way, if you're not watching us here on the YouTubes. So make sure you're following us on the YouTubes. Yeah, but in the meantime, we have Tom and we have James. Hello. How are you both doing?
Liz, I'm doing fantastic. Great to be back. I think I missed like an interview on Tuesday. And for some reason, it feels like I haven't podcasted in a year and a half. Did I miss last week, too? I don't know. Not important. I'm back.
No, last week we won.
Oh, my God. It's that's I thought it feels like it's been a month.
It does kind of feel like it's been a month. I don't know how it's been a month, but it has been a month. It's been two weeks. It's been 2 weeks.
Good to be back, guys. It's been a long off season. I'm losing it.
Yeah, I can only second what Tom is saying. It actually does feel like it's been a lot longer, and I don't know why. But that was only a little while ago, and I guess we've already moved on from the basking in it because we're so lost to time and space at this point. It might as well be 2030.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I'm already in the Heatwave Discord being like, roster updates when.
Right.
Everybody wants their championship merch. We want to know where all of our favorite players are going. I'm still basking in it. Don't get me wrong. It's just nothing makes sense. I have no discipline in my life anymore without like games to look forward to.
A little, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. It felt weird to be like Monday came and like I'm not doing a rewatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do I do?
But hey, here we are.
And even then, we were like, we don't have a game. What do we do?
Who do I hate for the next 5 days? Nobody.
I mean, it's still Fort Lauderdale. Let's be real.
Yeah, it's always Fort Lauderdale.
It's always Fort Lauderdale. Let's just put it. We're petty to the point where we want to vote for what is it? Carolina's goal of the year,
yeah,
just because it's against Fort Lauderdale. Yes, we are that level of petty, and I'm okay with that.
That's what makes a real rivalry. And real rivalries are what make the world go round.
Yeah. As a quick aside, one of my favorite things from the Club World Cup has been the fan who traveled from Japan to support River Plate because they were playing his hated team in Japan. Yeah. I really enjoyed that video. He even learned some pretty good Spanish to join in with the River Plate chants. And so that is elite level hate, as they say.
That's what everybody should be aiming for right there, I think. That's
wish I had
the
a budget for being petty. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Jacksonville's got those international friendlies in August.
We could all just go up
drive
there.
To Jacksonville?
Hey, take the train.
What train?
The train. The Amtrak train.
Yeah, it's going to take like 18 hours.
Oh, it's Jacksonville.
Yeah, it'll still probably take like 18 hours.
Liz, I've done the math. I've planned it out already. I'll send you all the details. I'll book the hotels. Don't worry.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Right. Penciling in, everybody. Let's go ahead.
No one will know who we are if just a bunch of us show up and start booing. Definitely not.
That being said, if we do go to these Jacksonville games, I cannot support Hibernian because they beat Rangers in the Scottish Women's Premier League. So that is a no-go for me. I'll be there booing everybody.
Yeah, it's one of those games where like, ah, can everyone lose?
Yeah.
So we didn't really know what to do with the show today because not a lot has happened. There's a couple of like announcements, like Jacksonville just announced a couple people like just today. But we kind of wanted to do some end of season awards.
Yeah.
And these are mostly vibes based. So nobody come for us. They're our own opinions.
Yeah, you can look at the league website.
Oh, and say, yeah. And we interviewed John Hunt from Lexington.
Yes. part of,
and that'll
part of
come ongoing, later. So stay tuned for that.
That's part of an ongoing series. We'll be talking to other people around the league this offseason.
Anyone we can find.
And for DC, it's hard.
Finding anyone else who's watched a single DC game.
Yeah.
It's us, basically.
Yeah, I was like, we can interview Mike, my boyfriend, because he watched the games with us.
Just haven't put on
already locked in for DC with protagonist. My bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. We had to find a neutral lower league soccer medium group to do it for DC. I wish that team the best. I think Coach Nana has got them on the right track. Move to Baltimore already.
Guys. Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Do that.
All right. How do we want to start this off?
I don't know, Liz. We didn't discuss this before we went on. I knew the show was going to be, the awards are all vibes based. Apparently, the show structure is very vibes based today as well. I've been recovering from an illness, so I'm just happy to be here right now. I don't know. James, you take time. Yeah.
Well, I'll jump in with the one bit of news before we do what we were leaning towards doing, which is our vibes-based superlatives for the day. So the one bit of news is just that Dallas Trinity has lost their manager. And Tom, I think you knew whether or not it was fired or by mutual consent or whatnot, but Pauline McDonald is no longer with Dallas. And I was speculating before we started that she might be going to Rangers in Scotland, which I have now already mentioned twice. Somehow I've worked that in here twice in, 7 minutes? So, but yeah, she might be going there because Rangers lost their manager to a second division team in England, which is a real kick in the ass for me. But that's how that goes. Tom, did you have the exact details of her leaving, or at least as they were written online, I'm sure?
I'm glad you added that that addendum at the end. Because, no, nobody has the exact details. This is the United Soccer Leagues. but the phrasing that Dallas put out was something along the lines of thank you to Pauline and also to the assistant coach, Gavin, for your work, hard work, being the first coach. But it wasn't that very kind of clinical mutual termination of contract. It wasn't, mutual parting ways. It was let go of her duties, not fired. It was none of that. But I don't think that I have seen some speculation online that this was more from Dallas and less from Pauline and Dallas. I think if you're Pauline, you take the chance coming over from Scotland, from the UK, from Europe, to go in on something new, something big. I know Dallas put a lot of money into their club. They kind of one of the bigger money clubs in this league. Us and them, I would say top two. Playing in the Cotton Bowl can't be too cheap.
No.
Then they put some good money into players, good money into branding, brought over an international club to get hammered by. But it shows a lot of ambition, and especially now that they're working with the upcoming men's team, Atletico. But I have seen some speculation, yes, that she didn't live up to what Dallas wanted, which, could be true, could not be. It's ridiculous to me if it is, because they finished third place, made the playoffs, lost to the eventual champions, Tampa Bay Sun Football Club. But I do understand putting all this money in, going out, getting Lexi Massimo as soon as you can, getting Sam Mez on alone, and then replacing her with some good players after she goes back to NWSL. There were always big expectations from that Dallas team to be a big club. So I understand, obviously, they wanted to be in the championship game, not to get there and to not let Pauline have another crack at it in season two. Seems harsh to me and to anybody I've asked about it. Yeah, pretty obviously, right? So I don't know if that's – it's going to come down to where she ends up. If it's like you're suggesting, might be a nice – job back home, then maybe it was mutual. She saw an opportunity, but you got to look at the timelines, how everything lines up. It just doesn't feel right to me. I know a lot of coaches are gone. We were just talking about this before we went on air. Fort Lauderdale, Carolina, Tampa Bay, three of the top four clubs are the only ones who are going to be heading into season two with the same coach.
At this point.
Exactly. At this point, we'll see. I don't think Philip Poole won the Coach of the Year award. I don't think he goes anywhere. Tyrone Mears, I don't think he goes anywhere. No shot Denise is leaving. So I think they're all pretty safe. But
I'll take Denise over my dead body.
Yeah. Yeah. Denise is a much better coach than a dead Liz. There's been a lot of turnover. Spokane let go of their coach, but that was kind of a mutual thing on her part, wanting to go back home. She did a great job. And then everybody else, Brooklyn was a nightmare. Lexington was a nightmare. DC, actually not as much of a nightmare compared to those two clubs. Coach Nana's got them on a good path. Like I said, I'm a big Nana head. So, but yeah, lot of turnover, 5 out of 8 clubs overall, and probably 4 out of 8 clubs during the season making changes. You could see that as a sign of instability if you want to come at us, come at the league. You could also see it as, you know, ambition.
Right.
Front offices figuring out what the league is. It's a competitive, physical league. This is the type of coach we brought in. This is the type of coach we're going to need going forward. So I think it's good to see. You got to take it on a case-by-case basis, but it's good to see some turnover. Like the Dallas thing I don't like, but pretty much everybody else, I think, good call making the switch there.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we will see how that plays out, obviously, with Pauline McDonald specifically, but also with the rest of the coaches around the rest of the league. So I guess the only other thing for us to do then is our vibes-based superlatives at this point. Liz, Tom, I don't know how many you guys have set up, so if it's all right, I'll get us started with one of mine. Which is the most improved player over the course of the season. And for me, that is Paige Almendarez. Oh. I think that she started this season not only as not really a starter, more of a bit part player, because we had two other wingbacks who were going to be in the position that she ultimately started playing. And those at the time were Kristen Edmonds on the left and Talia Staud on the right. Kristen Edmonds left the team and has since, at least according to social media at this point, she's expecting a child. So that's cool. And on the other side, Talia Staud went back to her team in NWSL, I believe Carolina Courage. And so Paige had to kind of step up to the plate, and there were some growing pains, I would say, along the way. But towards the end of the season, not only was she a locked in starter opposite of Tori Haugen, but she was doing extremely well in a couple of games. I think she scored. Or at least got an assist. I definitely know that. But I think that Paige Almendarez ended up being a very good player for us down the stretch. And so she is my most improved player for the 24-25 campaign.
Yeah, I love that. She really did come into her own. Definitely some growing pains. You're absolutely right about that. But she became a really important part. I think we had some turnover at the wing back positions, left back and right back. And she became one of our better players, I would say. Liz, this has been pretty male dominated. What do you got going on over there?
So my first one, and I can't, like I said, these are all vibes based. I have the Silent But Deadly Award for Brooke Hendricks. Because I feel like she was very, even though she's like 6 feet tall, for some reason, you don't really see her coming.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know. Like I said, this, you know, just going with it. She just was always there whenever you needed her. Silent but deadly.
Yeah.
Was our part of our last line of defense between a ball and the goal many, many times.
Yeah. What one of my favorite players. She scored the only headed goal in club history ever.
And wasn't that also the first goal?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Yes. She also had most minutes on the team.
Yeah. Absolute Iron Woman. And that was including a little break where she broke her face against Dallas over the Cotton Bowl. Right?
Yeah, she would also get the Blood, Sweat, and Tears Award. Emphasis on the blood.
Jesus. Yeah.
That woman literally gave her face for the team.
She wore
the Batman mask for a good quarter of the spring season, at least, if not half.
Yeah. All right. I suppose my first award will go to a player who became very important when she got her visa issues sorted out and took control of the middle of the field. I'm giving the Hard Lass Award to Tash Flint. She could not be moved. She could not be screwed with. She took no shit from nobody. She spent as much time on the ball as she did restraining herself from strangling every referee she ever met. Not just her goal scoring abilities, not just everything she does to pull the strings in the middle of the field, but the weight of what she is able to do in the middle of the field. Her strength became kind of a trademark of our club throughout the entire season. Without her, I don't think we would have had the same identity by a long shot.
Yeah, I really liked the way that Tosh Flint kind of evolved as this season went on. She was originally like a target player and then more of a player that was involved in the buildup and dropping deeper to get the ball and involve herself in the play. And there she would interact a lot more with Jordy Leistro and Jade Moore. So I think that Tosh Flint ultimately became a much more important player than even we expected. And we already expected her to be pretty important, if we're being honest. So, I think that that's a really good shout. Tosh Flint. Let's get more of Tosh Flint. Let's get her some more goals in blue and gold. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Future club legend, easy.
Yeah,
she's gonna be, when it becomes relevant, she'll be on the Mount Rushmore.
her number will be retired. Sorry, I have that on the brain because they're retired. I think it's really it's a little funny to me that they're retiring Alex Morgan's number with the wave because she was there for like 2 years or something like that. It wasn't that long.
They really want to make
it. Fun. Like the symbolism is nice. I just feel like, okay.
They really want to make themselves the Alex Morgan club, don't they? It's like, she's always going to be Orlando Pride to everybody. I
think she's also a club owner or something like that now or something.
Yeah.
So I think that helps.
You got to create history, even if it doesn't really look that good to do it.
Yeah. And unlike San Diego FC, they don't have a lower division club to poach history from.
That's right.
They really want to do it their own.
Exactly. Well, my next superlative is going to be also on the back line, and I am going to go with the rookie of the year, and that is Vivian Bissett. Vivian Bissett, it is her first professional season out of USF, and I think that she did an awesome job playing with her former coach, obviously, for the Bulls. And now she has taken over as another one of the Iron Women of the Tampa Bay Sun. I think that she and Brooke Hendricks you could quibble with this, I'm sure, but at least among the best defensive partnerships across the entire league. And, depending on where you're coming from, somebody who has a potential international future, as we noted when she did an interview with us earlier in the season, she can also play for Bulgaria. I don't know how Bulgaria is doing on their women's program, but you've got to think they really probably want to be calling somebody like Viv Bissett up. She's got to be probably one of the best players that they have available to them. I don't know that for certain, but I'm betting on it. Canada might be a little bit farther away than the USL Super League. I don't know at this point what her prospects are there, but certainly Bulgaria need to be looking at bringing Viv Bissett into their team. She was great all season. She only grew into the team, honestly, in my opinion. I think that she got better and better as it went along. And for this being her first season at the new highest level, let's say, Viv Bissett is my rookie of the year.
That's a great shot. I super impressed by Viv all season. It probably took me until like November to realize she wasn't a seasoned veteran, that she was a rookie right out of USF. You're not going to hear Liz or I quibble with you calling our center backs, you know, the best pairing in the league. I think that's a matter of fact as far as we're concerned here in Sun Country. My God, like I said, I could not believe she was a rookie. I still have to. When you said rookie of the year, I was like, who could it be? And then he said, Viv. Oh yeah, I guess she does.
Oh yeah, she is new, huh?
It's a really good shout that she does have that Bulgarian eligibility. Has been in youth camps with them before. I did bring up the Bulgarian roster when you were talking about that. They don't have a single defender over 30 caps. Most of them playing domestically, which I can't imagine the Bulgarian Women's League being too good.
Right.
If that's an avenue, I'm sure she probably wants to play for Canada. Might be one of those situations where she gets her stock up, doesn't want to get cap tied. And if Canada's not in the cards in 5-6 years, she goes on to be the best Bulgarian women's player of all time or something.
Yeah, exactly.
this is a little more basic, but needs to be acknowledged. If you were at any Sun game after a win, the Best Dancer Award 100% goes to Jawara, because my God, she just knows how to, she's just so good. Like, no matter what beat the Heat Wave are playing, she's got to dance. She's grooving. We love it. And it just, I felt like that needed to be acknowledged. She provides some excellent vibes for the end after a match, especially
and
when
this is, win. These are the vibe superlatives. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Scylla's an incredible player. Really happy to have her on the team. Sydney Nasella, really happy to have her on the team. I think something that goes kind of underappreciated if you're not, you know, coaching. But I know almost as importantly as it is to have good players, it's, like Sydney Nasella, great player. Almost as important as to have somebody like that, it's very important as well to keep them happy. And with, you know, Nasella's best friend was Scylla, and it seems like most of the team's best friend was Scylla. She's such an important part, especially early on in the season. She was a big part on the field. Found it hard to crack into a much improved 11 later on, but started finding her way back in as we, you know, looked for players that could kill games once we were in the lead, because we weren't ending games in the lead for a big stretch there. But once it became apparent that we could, and we just had to kill the clock, putting Wasilla out there as a defensive player was a fantastic way to go about things. And the dance moves. Impeccable.
Her dance moves, I watch her dance and I'm like, man, I don't know if my knees ever did that, but they certainly do not now.
Yes. She got jelly knees.
Yeah.
Okay. Going around, my next award, this one's gonna a little spike of nostalgia for everybody here. I know for a one-year-old club, we're a little young to be in the remembering some guys era. But I'm giving the Don't Fall in Love with a Low Knee award to Talia Stoudy. We did fall in love with Lonnie.
We did.
Yeah. You can't do that.
I do it every year. I did it with LaCava and the Rowdies.
They're not here to stay. They burn too bright. They're lonely because they're coming from somewhere else. They're going to look good because they are good. They're going to stand out because they are that good. But you can't stop. This is me talking to me right here. Tom, you can't start calling yourself a Stoudy head when you know she's going to leave. she was a big part of that awkward growing pain stage early in the season. I wish her nothing but the best with Carolina. North Carolina, excuse me. Carolina's a whole different club. Mm-hmm. And I wish very few people the best there. one person exactly. But yes, it was tough to see her go until we kind of got that figured out, which I do plan on getting to, spoiler alert. But yeah, big shout out to Talia Stouty. She's welcome back in Tampa anytime, I think.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that's fair. My next one is going to be one that Tom and Liz are going to kick me for, because I'm sure they had something lined up for her in the future that we didn't get to. But I'm going to go with a fan favorite award, and most specifically fan favorite for the Heat Wave. And it is going to be Ashley Orcus. I think Ashley Orcus's interaction with the Heat Wave specifically was awesome. She like, I remember we had our friendly versus Gotham, and in the middle of that, she like made some comments with us. And then the last one that I want to throw out, last little example, I think Liz and Tom probably will think of their own, but the last little one that I want to throw out is even in the final against Fort Lauderdale, which we won to win the championship, which was only 2 weeks ago, as we've already established. Even in that game, there was a moment where she passed the ball out of the back. The ball was gone, and she, like, there was nothing to worry about. There wasn't any danger or anything like that. But in doing so, she slipped on the turf surface and she fell a little bit. So the ball had already gone, and it was perfectly safe to do this. She turned back to us and she smirked and she just put her finger up to her mouth. Obviously the whole night was fantastic. We went on, we won, we celebrated, all that stuff. But that was honestly one of the standout moments of the game. So I just wanted to highlight Ashley Orcus, fan favorite.
Yeah, I love a keeper that gives their supporter section a little direction, especially because we are close enough to do that. Yeah. Like just even in the first match where she told us to get loud for opposing corner kicks. Like stay really quiet, and then as soon as they kick, get loud. Like that has been a staple for every game since.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I do love that. That is really cool. I also have an award for her. Mine was the Coming in Clutch Award, which I feel is very appropriate for her. So definitely the Coming in Clutch Award for Ashley Orcus has come in twice for two injured keepers, which is kind of bonkers. I think we're the only like team in the league that's happened to. Maybe they've had other one injured keeper. I don't think anyone's had two injured keeper. So, yes, Ashley Orcus came in once for Kaylin Marchese, who unfortunately injured herself in her debut with the team, like 15 minutes or so in. Ashley Orcus comes in, has a great match. It was amazing. We also had Sydney Schneider. I think her hand got like stepped on or something, or I can't remember what it was exactly, but her hand got injured in a match. Ashley Orcus comes right in, steps right in. She's got the swag on. She's done it. She saves the day.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we could talk for like a whole episode about Ashley Orcus. She really is a fan favorite. She's a friend of the pod. She's a friend of the Heat Wave. She's a friend to all creatures, great and small, I think. So you got to love, like you guys are saying, a goalie that will interact with the supporters group during the game. It's hard to pick like one favorite moment with her just because she was that approachable all season. But like the two that really stand out to me are after the Marquise injury, where she came in very early, kind of, unsuspectingly. She was like still eating her sour Skittles on her way onto the pitch and just had to give them to Liz because she was like, oh, I got to put these down, I guess. and there was one game, I can't remember what it was, where she lets a goal in and she turns around to the Heat Wave and goes, was that my fault? No, Ashley, absolutely no, please, no, you're doing fantastic, you're going to do great, yeah, please. but yeah, what a goalie, an S tier world class shithouser.
Yep.
I think every
amazing time waster. Amazing time waster.
Should take notes about how to waste time by watching Ashley Orkis game tape. How many yellow cards did she get for time wasting? Because it should have been every game, I feel like.
At least once a match.
Maybe been, once or twice it happened. I don't know.
Yeah, not nearly as much as it should have.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. She knew how to take it right to that line before a ref would be like, you know, giving it to her. But yeah, love her, love her. Who's next? Is it my turn?
Yeah.
What's the order? I feel like we're playing a board game. This is one of my favorite board games.
My turn.
It's your turn. Okay, good.
Oh, it's my turn. I just did Orcus.
He just did Orcus.
I started.
Yeah, and then I jumped onto that because I was cheating. After James.
No, you can't. This isn't Uno.
Oh, that's not how that works. Okay,
fine. Where you have the same color and you just play again. No.
All right. Well, then I have to follow up on that with the award that we were kind of talking about before we started recording, which is the unluckiest person award comes in for two people. And I'm so sorry to give this award to Kaylin Marchese and Yuki Watari.
Yeah.
But damn, y'all are very unlucky and we love you so much.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, that's
somehow, if you don't know, Kaylin Marchese tore her ACL, came back about 15 minutes in, as we were saying before, tore the same ACL as far as we know. Whereas Yuki tore her ACL, rehabbed it, then tore the other ACL. Which, like, how? Jeez, it's probably like one knee overcompensating for the other kind of thing. Like, I mean, I'm just speculating here, but that just freaking sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a dark award to have to give out right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, those are two players, us as a fan base, I feel like we're really, really looking forward to seeing both those girls on the field. Kaylin came in with a lot of promise coming straight from Arsenal, right in the Prem, or the Women's Super League, not the Prem. And of course, being a local girl from St. Pete, we all wanted the best for her. And Yuki immediately became like a fan favorite, just for like her antics. Mm-hmm. She seems like the life of the party. That's heartbreaking. I hope, I pray to every single god I've ever heard of that both of those players will be a factor for us next season. It's my turn now.
I think you're up.
You guys are looking at me like it is. All right. My next award is going to, it was what I alluded to earlier when I talked about Stouty. This is the Answered the Call Award going to Miss Victoria Dory Haugen. I think she got thrust into a position that is tough to play as a Tampa Bay Sun player. It's tough to play in Denise Shilty Brown's 3-5-2. There's a lot asked of you as a wing back here in Tampa Bay. I think especially at that right back position. A lot of times she was matched up defensively against the other team's best player. Fort Lauderdale, the championship game, seems like all of their attack was coming down that their left side or right, really looking to swing the cross in over there. And she held them to a clean sheet, obviously. Not just the defensive work that is required, but obviously she kind of started as the defender, moved up the field into that right-sided part of the five in the midfield. Because there is, like I keep harping on, so much asked of you as a wing player here in Tampa. So she was asked to do a lot, and the weaker players would have crumbled under the weight of the expectations and responsibility. Filling the boots of a fan favorite in Talia Stouty, that's part of it. And then just having to adapt to what is a unique position in football, that wing back spot, I think she – answer the call 10 times over. Super important to what we ended up doing, was always a big part every game. If she didn't show up, you know, with her dribbles, with her crosses, it was the defensive work. If it was a game where the defensive work wasn't super necessary, man, she got up there and caused some trouble in the attacking end. I think she was slept on all season, but man, she deserves some flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a good shout. For my next award, I am going to go with the Local Legend Award. Now, because it is a first year, we can't have, like Tom said earlier, we can't have anybody getting their number retired just yet. So I won't go that far. But I will say somebody has had an awesome career over several years now, over a decade at this point, played for the U.S. Women's National Team, and has announced that she is finishing her career with the Tampa Bay Sun. Not only that, she is a local player, originally from Lakewood Ranch, which is very close to where I am now in Bradenton. So I want to shout out Erica Timrak as the local legend. She started this season as a regular piece of the starting 11. She didn't stay that way over the course of the season, but she did still come on in several games over the second half of the season. And additionally, of course, we cannot count out her factor as a veteran over trying to handle getting yourself into a playoff position, getting yourself under, getting the team over the line, and making sure that you seal up that spot as not only one of the teams that's in the playoffs, but ultimately the team that gets to host playoff games. How important was it that we got to host those games, because we played a semifinal, and then because of the way that it works, we ended up playing the final in front of our home fans. That's really important, and you need veteran leadership to get you there. Erica Timrak was definitely one of those players, among others, of course. But Erica Timrak, being a local player from this area, contributing what she had on and off the field, I just want to recognize that.
Yeah, great shot. I think she was oftentimes kind of unsung in her importance, not just on the field, but also just for who she is as, you know, a role model, an idol. She's seems like one of the most well put together human beings on the planet, like mentally and physically. And I've said it before, how special is it to have one last season after accomplishing so much, national team minutes, NWSL play, having one final season and having the opportunity to do it in your home, your hometown, you know, Lakewood Ranch, Tampa, not exactly, but you know, I hometown hero, you're absolutely right. It's so cool. And it's something that wasn't possible ever here in Tampa. We never had a women's pro soccer team. We never had a women's pro sports team. Exactly. So it's so incredible for Erica Timrak to be able to lead us to a championship and pass that legacy down to future little Erica Timraks watching.
Plus, she retired with the clearly superior Florida women's team. Just saying.
Yeah.
Football Queens,
they won a championship. We won a championship.
Ours is more recent, so it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Theirs is also the most recent NWSL champions, though.
Yeah, but.
But not chronologically.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
That's what I mean.
Lord.
Lord.
Oh, is it my turn again?
You're up, Liz.
Yeah, draw a card.
Okay. I'm running out of people awards. I don't have a people award, but I have a missed opportunity award.
Oh, you're being such a bummer with your last two.
I'm sorry. So I have two missed opportunity awards. The first one was the missed opportunity was not selling warm-up kits.
Mm.
People would have bought those.
I have heard that.
So good.
So those are really cool. To the point where I literally found beads that kind of match them. So like would have been nice to have like my bracelet and my keeper, or I'm sorry, my warm-up kit. Just saying.
It's a legendary looking bracelet, by the way. I love it.
Thank you. And then special mention. Sorry. The second one was customization for all kits. We will give you our money. Let us give you our money. For the love of God.
We're trying, guys.
Other teams get customization.
Yeah. I need to see Liz walking up and down the back line with a Miss Heat wave on the back of her jersey.
we need to do it with not my heat press and not my crappy cricket.
Yeah. We want it done very professionally, and we want to pay you to do it. So, maybe super producer Eureka, if you want to edit into the first couple minutes, a notice for any team employees listening to skip forward to this part. That way, specifically.
Yeah. This is for the front office specifically.
Yes, there we go. Exactly.
And I have a special mention for missed opportunity, which is, and I will forever cry for him, my pink keeper kits. I just want a pink keeper kit. I just want a pink jersey so bad. I'm just a girl who wants a pink jersey.
Stop showing us cool things and not letting us give you money for them.
Exactly.
Really? Yeah. I mean,
that's what I had.
Shout out for the orange keeper kits. Those came out of nowhere.
I mean, yeah, no, the new orange keeper kits are phenomenal, and they are more Tampa Bay. I'm just sad because I want a pink jersey because I like pink. And it's about as basic as that, unfortunately.
It's a women's soccer club, guys.
It's a women's soccer. Yeah, give me some pink. Fort Lauderdale got my other favorite colors. I would like some pink. That's why it's in the heat wave. Let's be real.
Yeah. And orange to represent the Florida tropics.
May they rest in peace.
They're not. Okay. My turn, right? I can pick. I can roll the dice, press the trouble bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'm giving, if this was any more serious of a podcast, I would be saying, and now I'm going to give the offensive MVP award. I'm not doing that. I'm giving the slowly realize she's even better than she initially thought she would award to Cecilia Flew Nielsen. I think she's a super young player, Denmark international youth team, U23s. So she's like 22, 23. She's got a previous cap with the senior national team, and she's going to have a lot more sooner than later.
Oh, yeah.
But she came in obviously knowing she's good, playing like she's good. I think there was a little crisis of confidence somewhere around the middle of the season where she wasn't finishing. I think I called her out on the pod at one point because she wasn't playing up to her own level.
I did.
When a player's that good, this is the coach in me coming out. When a player's that good, you got to come down hard on them sometimes. You got to give them that tough love. And Cecilia's that type of player. She's, if not world class already, she will be before long. 100% a player, I think, will be scoring goals in the FIFA Senior Women's World Cup before we realize it. But she came to town knowing she's a good player, knowing she's going to be asked to score goals, had that crisis of confidence, and then was called back to Denmark to play for their U23s. And only went out and scored a brace against Scotland and came back fully renewed. You know, she was gangbusters from then on out. She just had to go back and eat some, I don't know, stinky fish or whatever they eat in Denmark. And she came back and remembered just how good she is. So the Cecilia Flew Nielsen of June 26, 2025 is 10 times better than the Cecilia of June 26, 2024. And that's saying a lot, because that is an incredible player. Treasure her while she's here. Hope she sticks around.
Mm-hmm.
But if she doesn't, know we witnessed something, the start of something really special here in Tampa with her.
Yeah, it's. I don't feel like it's premature to say we will be seeing her at a full-fledged World Cup soon.
No.
Yeah, Loki, the future of the Danish national team, I think.
Yeah. Heike.
We saw it here.
Heike.
Heike. Heike, folks. Heike. And we got it on the ground. Heike. Heike, not Heike.
Well, I guess then the next one will go to me, and I'm trying to figure out exactly how I want to phrase this one, but I think that I'll just go with the probably best attacking midfielder across the whole league award, and that is a high bar, because Addie McCain did a pretty good job of that at Fort Lauderdale, even though I yelled at her quite a lot in the final. But the best attacking midfielder across the whole league award for me is Carly Giamona. I really don't think that it's close, because, like I said, Addie McCain. But ultimately, when you, I think, look at the goal contributions, I think Carly Giamona does come out on top. And that includes assists, by the way. So I'm just putting that out there. But yeah, I really think that Carly Giamona proved not only how good she is, obviously, but how well she can do in multiple different spots on the field. She contributed to the attack from helping out on the right side, obviously from helping out in the middle, helping out on the left side, frequently the opposite of Sydney Nocello, like the opposite side of the field. So I think that the two of them working as a tandem, which was, again, on the opposite side of the field, but it didn't allow any team to say, okay, it's fine if it goes over there. It's fine if it goes over there. It's never fine. The Sun always have somebody who's gonna make your life hell as a defender. So that's where I'm going with Carly Giamona.
That's a great shout. I think comparing her to Addie McCain is apt in the fact that I think she's got a bigger toolbox than Addie. I think she's a more well-rounded player. She's able to contribute to assists as well as score. She's able to adapt her game. When she was looking for a while there, like she was going to be the most dangerous goal scorer on the team, one of the most dangerous goal scorers in the league, teams started sliding to her a lot quicker, doubling her, clamping down. And she grew a sense of gravity. It's a je ne sais quoi that I like to talk about in players, gravity, where defenses have to know where they are. They have to be a little bit closer to them at all times. And when that happens, a weaker, lesser player can collapse under their own gravity and can go supernova. And that's a bad thing in this situation. Carly didn't do that. She adapted her game intelligently. She said, if you're going to look at me as the goal scorer, I'm going to turn provider. Her toolbox, her skill set is so incredible. She was a, you snaked her out from under me. She was going to be the recipient of the Italian Excellence Award for me. but yeah, again, such an important player to the character of our club.
Yeah. Honestly, it's hard to say more because y'all always put it in just always say it exactly how it should be.
Yeah. Okay. Is it me?
I think it goes to Liz now.
No, I'm out.
All right, then it goes to Tom.
That's all I came up with for this show because we.
I got a bunch. I thought I had nothing coming into this, and the more this happens every time I do a show, every time I come in, I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna. Oh my god, I'm having so much fun. I'm talking about my favorite thing with some of my favorite people.
Yeah, I lose.
So yes, my next one is going to go to. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 left, y'all. I can do this all night.
Do you want to save them for the next show?
We could.
We can.
I
just leave everybody hanging because we do still have the interview we have to cut to, and that's like another 20 minutes or something. Okay. This is getting long.
We're not done here, guys. There's 3.
Yeah,
of us.
No, we're not done, guys. We love our team a lot.
Well, apparently.
And apparently I need to come up with more.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, think about it. You can steal some of mine for next week. But yeah, look, there's no off season. What are you talking about?
There is in the off season I created the blue sky for the team.
Yeah. Hey, another shout out to league and team employees. Get on blue sky, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want the, you want, if you would like the blue sky handle, send me a message.
Yeah. We want to get off Twitter, please.
Yeah, please. No more Twitter. Or at least cross post. There's the app Buffer. You can cross post. You can cross post up to 3 for free. I've done it.
Speaking of that,
you should follow us on all of the platforms. Thank you, Super Producer Eureka, for reminding me. It is at RBLR Sun on all socials and at RBLR Sports on the YouTubes, where you can see our beautiful faces, like right now, our beautiful faces.
Even James, you never get that.
Yeah, you get to see James. You get to put a face to the voice if you don't for some weird reason don't watch RBLR Rowdies.
Yeah, this is the guy who writes the articles every week. They're good. Read them.
Yeah,
we got the whole family here, guys. Look at us. Sometimes families can be two dads and a mom.
It's three dads because we also have Eureka.
That's true.
Oh yeah,
we really have the whole crew because Eureka does the John Hunt interview with me.
Oh my God, yeah, you get to see everybody.
You get to see everyone if you watch the YouTube. Go to the YouTubes.
Speaking of the John Hunt, you want to throw to that?
Yeah.
I don't know why
I actually turned.
Right? Yeah.
See, these are fun things you get to see if you watch us on YouTube. You get to see me do stupid shit like that.
Jesus Christ. We've had a whole season. We're professionals now, right?
We are professionals. Absolutely. We have awards. Wait, hold on. We have awards.
We have award.
All right. So, Super Producer Eureka joins me talking to John Hunt about Lexington. We are going to cover a team a week or so, maybe lump a couple teams together if we get a little short on time or whatever before the season. I don't think we will, though. There's only 8 teams. What am I saying? We're going to cover all the teams in the offseason leading up to our home opener on August 30th. Which I definitely don't already have memorized.
Ask me about 8:30.
Ask me about 8:30. Need to change my shirt or make a new one.
Yeah. All right. Over to the interview that I'm not a part of.
Yep. Okay, here's the main event. We got John Hunt. We're here to talk about Lexington and Lexington season. Woo!
Welcome.
He is the president / capo of Railbirds 859 and has done some work with Protagonist USA. John, how are you? Thank you for coming today.
I'm good. How are you all?
Not bad. I mean, I'm pretty good, honestly. We finished just a little bit better than Lexington, sorry. So I have to say, Lexington, I think, was a much better team than where they placed personally. There was a lot of, I'm sure a lot of, we'll get to this too, a lot of weird lineup picks that we would have changed quite a bit. But I still think Lexington was better than they were given credit for. I think they maybe had a rougher schedule towards the end of the season. I know we were kind of this Tampa Bay Sun where we're a little bit more front loaded. Like, I think we played Brooklyn and we were done a week early. But we played a lot of teams earlier on, and then like DC was one of our last games. So that was a little bit easier for us. So I think Lexington might have had a little more of a off-kilter schedule.
Every team, it felt like when they were hitting it.
like
Dallas would beat them, they would recover, and then they would like play us or whatever. It just felt like there was no team that was bad besides like Brooklyn, which who we were good against Brooklyn in the spring. It felt like every single team was hitting their groove. And to be fair, besides DC at the very end, every single team was in the groove in the spring season, at least.
Yeah, no, I'd say that was pretty fair. Everybody was really kicking it into second gear.
Brooklyn was just trying to survive.
Yeah. Brooklyn is something that should be studied, honestly. It was
well,
kind of crazy.
I think, and to get into it with Lexington, I think a bit of our issue is this winter break and figuring it out. Because we were a whole different team. Because, yes, we've always been leaky on defense, but we, in the fall, we released also scoring. I think we were tied in the most goals scored in the fall, at like the end of the fall. It was something like that. We were up there with most goals scored at the end of the fall, yet allowing the most at the same time. And then come winter, we tried to make a bunch of moves. We had four coaches in the spring for various different reasons. Dickie was supposed to get fired over the winter break. I guess they couldn't find the coach or someone to bring him in, so they bring him in. Starts off bad. So they let him walk. We have a his assistant temporary is one for one game, and then she's gone because apparently the players didn't really like her. We have our men's sporting director on paper. He's not really. Fills in for some time. That's when we get really, really bad. Something happens with that I don't know all the details on. I don't really want to speak out per se because I don't really know what happened, if it's true. There was a rumor of a league investigation involving him. Don't know if it's true or not. Still saw him around and that sort of thing. The league hasn't released anything. The club hasn't released anything. So if there was something, it's either they found nothing or it's another case of the USL being able to just cover everything up expertly, which I know annoys many fans. And then we finished off pretty strong when we had our goalkeeper coach who came in and finished the last three games, which we were somewhat decent with. So I think it's a mix of the up top stuff. Like as you said, we had a lot of talent. We brought in a lot of talent even in the winter. Claire Winter was a good winter pickup. Nicole Vernis was a good pickup. I believe they both came from Georgia. We brought in these Colombians that were, hurt, that type of thing. They're injury. We also had an injury bug a lot. Genuinely a player I thought who was going to be a starter for us, she tore her ACL in August or July, and she only played two games. We had a lot of injuries. So it was a mix of just the perfect storm of stuff. They kind of built this team like the first men's team where they got kind of a lot of fringe people, right? Where other teams are getting more people from an area or to fit the system. We're kind of getting let's take some W League people. Let's take some of these D2, like Maddie Parsons came from D2 or UPSL women's and see what there is and that type of thing. And I think they were just feeling it out. It's hard to go into an inaugural year as a Division I team, which I do know the second they got Division I sanctioning, there were agents calling the club. So that to the people who are all about why does the USL do D1s? Because there are players who refuse to play below that. And that's why they've gone other places. Granted, there was no other pro opportunities. But, it's hard to just throw rosters together when you have no idea what you're going to see. And then the winter break happens. Another thing, you have no idea what you're seeing. I think the entire Super League is very, very interesting over the fall to spring because you had Brooklyn, who looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
Completely missed the playoffs. You have Spokane, who, kind of like Lex, were not good in the fall. I believe they were just a few points above us at the end of the fall. And then they surge in the spring. Still miss playoffs, right? But they had the talents there. They just had to figure it out. Tampa stumbled out the gate. Tampa was supposed people were all very – I was very high on Tampa going into the season. They stumbled, were a little rough at the start. Obviously, surge, hit playoffs, win the inaugural thing, right? They finished second. behind Carolina. Carolina was arguably the only consistent team, I would say. Fort Lauderdale stumbled. DC was a little bad, then they got a little good, then a little bad again. So it's a very weird thing. And that's also when we're looking into this offseason of how fast it's ramping up. It's because the league is treating the winter break almost like a mini offseason in itself, is how I feel it.
Yeah, it's going to be much shorter this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Lexington has a friendly in on July 13th against Racing, Louisville, the NWSL. Like,
yeah,
and that's. Yeah. 20 days away, and five teams in the league have not even announced roster moves.
Yeah, at all. Us being one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are releasing the playoffs.
Sure. They have roster moves. They just haven't announced them yet. We're waiting on them to announce. Yeah.
At the bare minimum, I could have seen the Monday after the final. Or that week after the final, where the league goes, hold everything, don't do anything unless you're DC, who doesn't care because DC already did theirs. Hold everything until after the league final.
Yeah.
Right? Let the league's like, let us focus on the playoffs and stuff, and then you guys can do roster moves.
Yeah.
And still, I'm very shocked of how late it's gotten into almost July, and we have. Yeah, Jacksonville has been signing people, but we have only three teams that really said anything.
Yeah.
And even Carolina was very cryptic in there.
Yeah, they just said thank you to our starters, basically.
Yeah.
Thank you to these seven players.
Yeah.
And it was weird.
Yeah, it's and I would say, you know, there's not a united like league effort. Like I would you would kind of think, oh, maybe they're letting Jacksonville have the spotlight with their new things, but it's in reality, it's not.
It's like, been crickets on Jacksonville for like a week.
Jacksonville got leaked by UK women's soccer.
I know.
Yeah, it's true.
It's they're still figuring a lot of things out because like even the league, like because I've been talking with some people from the league, and it's just like the timing of everything. Like they haven't stopped. For them, there is no break. It's literally been they did it. And then they did the playoffs, and now we have a new team coming in and everything. And
it's Amanda is the most hardworking executive at the USL. Yeah. At least she's the one that makes sure visually she looks like the most hardworking. Because I could not tell you last time I saw a social post from League One or the championship presidents.
Yeah.
But Amanda, I am not going to attempt her name because I always butcher it, her last name. Vanderport, that's right. It is. Yeah. She's like the most hardworking. She's the most friendly. I've never met a league president. I think the league president for League One was at Lexington game one time, and he hung out in the owner's box the entire time.
Yeah.
And so they're going nonstop.
They're trying.
The league has a bunch of policies about when the team can release news because they had to go through the league to get approved by players and stuff like that. And the league could go, well, we're going to release something at this time, so we need you to maybe release tomorrow so that doesn't overshadow the thing we're releasing. I know there was something related to Lex Men about that this past offseason and stuff.
Yeah.
I forget what it was, but it's just like. And I'm very curious what will happen because it also could be they were running for the NWSL to take their little break that they're doing if any players are leaving.
Yeah, they're definitely waiting on the 28th or 29th, I believe, is when the NWSL contracts end or something like that.
Sucks. I hate that we're waiting on somebody else.
Well, a lot of those players like, are going to come.
It's legal stuff because I guarantee you there are fringe NWSL bench players.
Yes.
That saw the Super League. Because as much as some NWSL stands can say it, a bench player, these are competitive women, a bench player who is like the 12th, 13th, 14th, third, or the third or fourth striker or whatever, it would much rather play and be a starter and get minutes in a second tier D1.
Mm-hmm.
Than just ride the bench in the NWSL. You're talking about competitive people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Christian Sinclair when she was, you know, pushing 40 right in Portland's bench because she was just old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're not, if I'm 21 and you're not giving me minutes, why should I stay? Or at least loan me. Like, let me
play.
Yeah. And you're going to see vice versa, too. There's going to be players that prove themselves this year that they should maybe move up to it, move over to NWSL, you know?
If Amina Ekic is still in the league,
right?
She played in the NWSL.
Yeah.
If Amina Ekic is still in the league, she better be wearing blue and gold.
I'm just saying, if Amina Ekic is still in the league, there are NWSL teams that have failed. Utah is struggling. There are teams in the NWSL that could take her.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and there's going to be a shakeup. Like, if that talent goes there, then someone lost their position there, and everyone's looking for a job somewhere in the shakeup. So there's.
And there's all the college people now where they have, there's no draft in the NWSL.
Yep.
So they're just genuinely, they're having to, and now Super League teams, and the minimums are kind of close, can battle with them. Now, NWSL has a higher ceiling depending on how much money they have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They got the TV money and stuff like that. But some college kid could be, hey, Tampa, Carolina, Lexington, you can start here. You can be our 12th person, right? Portland. Oh, you can be like a fringe 18 player.
Yeah, you can come on in the 90th.
Yeah, where you taking it? Like, I might go play in the USL for a year, and then I'll go back to the NWSL or something like that.
What was to say? Yeah. You even brought it up that Lexington sort of built their squad on a lot of these, you know, fringe players or people that might be looking for opportunities. With that said, so because of you look at head coaching, injuries, scheduling, we haven't gotten into international breaks sort of messing up with the rosters and things like that. With all of that adversity, though, there were some bright spots. I think are there a couple players that you'd like to shine a light that you thought were like really, really good for Lexington that maybe people weren't aware of this year?
I would say Sarah Cox, first and foremost.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's our main goalkeeper, number one. I know that's kind of hard when you look at games where she's has three scored on her, but she was genuine. If you watch those games, genuinely, most of those saves come off, or most of those goals come after she has made a save, where she and there's a rebound and there's slop. Some of it was PKs towards the end, right? Which PKs are very hard to stop.
Yeah,
but right, she made some awesome saves. The only thing was our back line would not help her out. Yeah. I'm not trying to throw anyone under that.
No. I think most, I say this jokingly, but with all seriousness, I think most keepers are better without their back line.
Which is why
I'm sure she was hung out to dry a couple times where she could have probably done some better work if she had had some more help.
Yeah. And which happens, right? She's a great goalkeeper, and which was very weird because she had not played pro at all for like 3 years. She went to a combine, and that's where they found her.
Wow.
Which goalkeeper I fully believe is one you just kind of got to shake the rust off, and you're fine. Like if you're staying in shape, there's a bit of the shake the rust off for live games, and you can be fine. Personally.
Okay.
But Shea Moyer. Obviously, she got the second team all league honors. She was our captain. She was very solid type of thing. Maddie Parsons was very, very solid, very fan loved. I think Maddie Perez, who dealt with some injuries and stuff, was very good. Sydney Shepherd, another one, dealt with injuries and got to. Naeong Shin, international, starting for Korea. I think her international duty messed up her a bit, not in terms of injury, but just having to go to Asia and then come back to America, messes with your body clock, playing. She was starting those games, so there's having to recover from all that. I think that's some of the reasons she didn't shine, right? And if you're a coach who's trying to fix stuff, fix thing. You're not just going to throw in a kind of like jet-lagged, you know, still trying to get back into our system because we played very different than South Korea. Back into our system and that type of thing. You're not just going to go, all right, go start. Right? Which I know we see at the very high level of men's soccer, that, but that's also the entire 11 who's going on internationally and then coming back together. So they're more going through it together versus you take this one person away. Right? There's a Hannah Richardson was a really solid forward for us at times. You know, there was some very extremely solid, really good. Julie Mackin was really good. Courtney Jones was very, very solid. She got injured. Like, we had so many injuries. Like, this person would get hurt, and then this person would get hurt. Natalie Higgins was another person I thought should be really good. We were never at full health, ever at any point.
Yeah.
Which I'm not like, saying to make it as an excuse. Like, we were still a very questionable team and bad, very, very bad at times.
Yeah, but if you can't get things going because people aren't in a squad, there's not an 11 that plays every week. I could see where that would if you're playing with a blown tire every game and blowing new ones every other game, it's
we were having to play Emma Johnson, who's I think she's 17 now, she might be 16.
Yeah.
He's the one who gets called up to the U.S. youth national team.
She almost had 600 minutes this year for you guys.
And she was playing out of position from what I've been told and talking with some players and stuff. It was like she was being played out of her natural position.
Yeah.
And still was doing very solid, but also being a 16-year-old and having to go up against Amber Brooks.
Yeah.
Who is a NWSL veteran, has been around. As much as, you know, we've seen there's a surprisingly large amount of teenagers that have played in the NWSL. Very surprisingly large amount. It still is hard to play against grown, experienced professional athletes versus you're still in high school. Like, sometimes, like, following them on socials, it was very jarring because I thought to remember, I was like, oh no, you are still a high schooler, you are a child.
Yeah.
Social is very much more of a child than of a like 29-year-old adult,
right?
No, I get that. We had Aaliyah Pitts posting, best senior year ever, and I'm just like, oh, I feel old, I feel old. So John, I have to ask, what do you think's coming in year two? What do you foresee then? Like, are there specific players that you'd really like to see come back? Are there any players you'd like to see not come back?
So I wouldn't say we need a shakeup, right? But at the same time, we've tried that on the men's side and it's not necessarily worked fully. So I'm a bit of like, let's keep consistency. And I think what we saw when Ben Willis, who was our goalkeeper coach, who took over for the last two games, when we kind of had a coach that seemed to get the girls to buy in, it worked a little better. So I feel like we just need to find the right coach for the system and to keep maybe a little over half of the players for consistency's sake. And now I'm not saying don't bring in 11 better players. Like, if you find 11 better players, bring them in. And I know of one internal move from Spokane to us, partially because her boyfriend plays for the men's team.
Okay, sleuths, go get in there.
Well, it's been talked about on the USL Discords and stuff. Yeah,
sure.
But I've been told by Stephen Daher. Sorry, my cat's being feisty. By Stephen Daher, who's our main minority owner, that we should expect this 2025, 2026 team to be better. Okay. Should be more competitive. So there, at least, he's very much acknowledging that they weren't competitive. He's not like making excuses. He wasn't really making excuses. He was very much saying we should be better. Now, I would like to bring back Shea Moyer. She basically played almost every single minute. There's occasionally times she would get subbed out towards the end of the game. And she was our captain, a very solid captain, great vibes person overall, very personable. I would like Maddie Parsons, even if it's in more of a reserve role type of thing. Because while I want to shake up, I'm very curious to how much the league shakes up. Because even I'm also very curious how little it does. Because I'm not saying Instagram bios are a great indicator, but there has been some Lex girls who have removed the club from their bios.
Yeah.
And there has been some that it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed. No, I've noticed that with a couple of Sun.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, take that how you will, sluice. That could be nothing. That could be everything. The sum that are keeping it could just be keeping it until the official thing is released.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But it's very much, I think we're not going to see as much turnover like we see with other USL teams on the men's side in particular. I think we'll see a lot of teams keep about 10, 12, maybe Lexington a little less, maybe DC a little less. Even DC kept a lot more people than I really thought they would. Because I think the first wave was people coming back to America. Now it's figuring out how can you upgrade? Is there even room to upgrade outside of pulling from college? Right? Because, yes, there is probably an NWSL bench player that wants to get minutes. But at the same time, does that player want to come to the Super League? Want to take what is technically a downgrade, like, no offense to Tampa, you play at a high school stadium, renovated high school stadium. DC plays in the cavernous Audi Field because they can never feel that. I'm very surprised with how Dallas did the Cotton Bowl. It was not actually that bad looking, but you know the Cotton Bowl's not. It's not Lynn Family Stadium. It's not the KC Bank, whatever their new stadium is, or the Orlando Stadium. They're not these. You know, NWSL stadiums. Brooklyn plays at a baseball stadium. You know? So it's very curious what we'll have. I know Lex has some of the nicer facilities, but I don't know if are necessarily the issues that brought in a rumored league investigation will hurt our recruitment. You know? He's not going to be a coach. I don't know how much he's going to even be involved. I've heard rumors he's already left the club on his own accord. But does that affect people coming here, right? Are there people aren't going to go to Tampa for some reason, right? Because they want to be better than Tampa. I don't know. Like, it's so many unknowns that I think are going to exist around this league for like three more years, especially as more clubs come in.
Yeah, I think until we get a little more established, for sure. I was just thinking, though, when you were listing off all of our interestingly shaped stadiums, we don't sound that dissimilar from early NWSL, in my opinion, because it's not like you had Boston Breakers people, playing at Harvard.
No, that happened, too. And to the people, mainly NWSL fans, to the people hating on this Super League for our attendance, one, I'll say this. In the spring, Lexington did not have a good weather game where it either wasn't pissing, pouring rain, right? Or cold rain, or like nipping, windy, cold, whatever. Like things that would deter a casual fan from going to see a bad team play.
Yeah.
Right? If it wasn't that, we were also bad. And Lexington is the definition of a fair weather city. As someone who came from Detroit, it's a very shocking. Like, I have seen pictures of UK's stadium there where the football play.
Yeah.
Right? Packed 1 week, but they get blown out that 1 week. So next week, it's like cavernously empty.
Wow.
It's truly like, besides the men's basketball team, if you're not winning and competitive, or at least competitive in this city, you're not going to get support. Right, we've kind of seen that a bit in Louisville with their women's side. It's kind of a thing in Kentucky. If you're not competitive, right, and this stuff's not ingrained into your society through generations, it's not, people aren't just going to come out just because. Right. And yeah. that, and if you look at the NWSL in 2013, when they launched, there were teams pulling in Lexington's average attendance, Tampa's average attendance. The only reason it's skewed a little high is because Portland has always supported well. Portland's always been pulling in 13, 14K.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, too, because this is one of the few instances where we have two teams, one club, one crest, like a whole integrated. How has...
Actually, it's a lot more. You guys are kind of...
Yeah, no, I know. You guys, you have like, a W League, and you have a... There's a USL. Oh, yeah, there's a two-team. Yeah. Like so you guys have so much, but, like...
Do some of the
true USL sporting club.
Yeah. Well, technically... Technically, we do the indoor facility has been offering like volleyball coaching.
Okay.
There's no volleyball team.
Okay.
There has been other sport coaching going on at a practice facility.
Okay.
So we're slowly getting to where we're a sporting club. But to USL fans, why Lexington is sometimes shoved down y'all's throats by the league sometimes is because we are, at least from a business looking standpoint, if you're USL HQ, we are a model club on the, like, not on the field necessarily, but on the, like, business side. We have a men and women's pro team. Mm-hmm. We have men and women's team in the highest pre-professional developmental leagues of the league. We have a cat. We have an academy. We have a brand new stadium, right, that we own. That's our thing. That is everything the USL wants. That is what Jacksonville is going to be doing. Brooklyn, because Jacksonville is doing Fort Lauderdale is about
Fort Lauderdale. Yeah.
They get on the women's side.
Yeah.
Carolina basically is that way. They just have two different branding. They're all the same. They are literally owned by the same guy.
Yeah.
Just for some reason they have different branding.
Yeah.
Right. That's what the USL wants. I've heard rumor that all incoming, at least men's side teams, have to feel the USL wants them to feel the W League team. So, like, the USL is very much wanting teams to fully take part of their ecosystem as much as possible.
So what I was gonna ask is, so as a supporter group, right? Like, how has that been? Where it's like there was the men's club kind of first for a couple years. Now we've integrated a professional women's club. How has that been? Just sort of getting people over to the Super League side, at least.
Super League side has been hard because the team's not been good.
Okay.
Right. And there's been a mix of, to be fair, the club has done a lot to upscale their marketing. They've been better and stuff. I think there is a point where you look at something and call it a wash, right? So they're just figuring out the men's side to how to market it and that type of thing. And so I think eventually they will be figuring out the women's side, right? With the new stadium, they're figuring all that stuff out as well, that type of thing. And, you know, they get into their credit. They get more engagement with the men's side. It's the sad thing about men and women's sports, because yes, I am very much pro support women's sports, all that type of thing. I watch WNBA, I watch softball whenever, like, I watch sports to watch sports. I'm a sports fan.
Yeah, right.
Right. But we are still in a society that prioritizes men's sports.
Sure.
As much as it sucks, that's what the case is. I know people that are women that rather watch men's sports than women's sports. The sad reality of it. So Lex is trying. They're working there. They're getting there. But Lexington is also a city where the men's college basketball team plays in a giant arena.
Yeah.
And the women's college basketball team does not play in said same arena. They play in the smaller one that's on campus.
Okay.
And I think they only go there when they play Louisville, or it's a really bigger game.
Yeah.
And if it's just a regular season game, they're at the smaller one.
Yeah.
Sadly. I don't agree with that, but.
Right.
That's disappointing to hear.
Yeah.
But hopefully things will improve. Things will change.
I think it will. Again, I want to see how the shakeup goes. All right. I genuinely want to see how it goes because we are also Brooklyn's getting a new coach. I don't know if they made their interim permanent. DC, I don't know if they made their interim coach permanent. We're getting a new coach. Spokane's getting a new coach. Half the league is getting a new coach.
Yep.
We have a whole new team coming in. Right? And it's going to be an even now it's an unbalanced schedule. You play only right. four you play four teams four times, you play four teams three times.
Yeah.
So do for some magical reason are our four teams that we play four times the four worst teams. So we get an extra game to get points from versus where you guys might have the four playoff teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That just could be how it goes. So we got to see how it happens. Yeah. Right. Tampa could be getting gutted for all we know. I don't think that will happen.
Haven't heard that yet, but yeah.
But like the NWSL could go, oh, this person's good. This person's good. All right. You got four starters left.
They got to go through me first, John. They can't touch my ladies here.
But, you know, I don't want that to happen. I don't want the league to have such high turnover, but that's going to be the result of being essentially a one double A league.
There's going to be a lot of turnover for every team, at least even if it's just at the fringe, people at the end of the bench that are being upgraded or older players that are retiring, obviously. Like
there will be, I can guarantee you, there will probably be one to three starters per team that will leave.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Either from retirement.
Yep.
We saw that happen. We saw random girls just retired.
Yep.
Right. And yes, the league's minimums are close to the NWSL, but it's.
Yeah.
I bet you not many girls are getting paid a lot. I know of USL players on the men's side that have retired because they got a better 9-to-5 white collar job.
Yep.
Paying better.
Yeah.
Paying better. Sure. So that could happen. Some of the girls are like, well, let's see what this college degree can give me. Oh, that's double my salary.
Yeah.
I would love to keep playing soccer, but I don't pay the bills.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say that about wraps it up for us today. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us about Lexington. This was really, really interesting to hear like a true Lexington fan's take on the season. So thank you very much.
And there were more than three players. We talked about more than three Lexington players. How about that?
Yes.
shove it, social media guy.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. But John, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you taking your time to teach us a lot about the team and to talk about a lot of the ups and downs of the Super League and how you guys have seen it out there in Kentucky. So I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Have fun.
Thank you so much to John Hunt for giving us some time and giving us his thoughts on Lexington. That was illuminating. It is nice to also hear some outside point of view and some people who know some insider facts.
Yeah, that's a fascinating club up there in Kentucky, Lexington. They're doing a lot of things. New stadium, UPSL team, League 2, USLW League, USL Championship, Super League, bless you. So yeah, it's good to reach out. You know, we love the Sun, but this is it's a small league. It's a small community. We got to look out for each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, we like most teams, except for Fort Lauderdale. We like most teams outside of the 90 we're playing them.
Except for Jacksonville, too.
Yeah, them too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff, guys. Let's go to the Sun, right?
Let's go to the Sun. All right, we will cover more players' superlative awards in future episodes so that we cover the whole team and everything. We just don't want to overload you with too much at once.
I do.
All right. That about wraps it up for tonight. Thank you so much. Let's go the Sun.
Let's go the Sun. Thanks for joining us, James.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.